Action WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The first stage of the U.S. brokered ceasefire in Gaza is underway. The Israeli military says its forces have withdrawn to agreed deployment lines. President Trump's Middle East envoy, Steve Witkoff, says the 72-hour period for Hamas to release all hostages has begun. ABC's Mary Bruce is at the White House with the latest.
The big question, then what? The president's 20-point plan had called for Hamas to disarm and for Gaza to be governed by an apolitical Palestinian committee overseen by an international board of peace with Trump as its chairman.
No Nobel Peace Prize for President Trump. It's been awarded to Venezuela's opposition leader, Maria Machado. The government shutdown continues after the Senate departed without passing a funding resolution. Military members are set to miss their paychecks next week. National Guard troops expected to arrive in Memphis today, but not Chicago, after a federal judge blocked Trump administration efforts to deploy in Illinois. This is ABC News.
Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here. You're listening to WISS, home of the Midwest Farm Report.
For 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. Republican State Representative Dave Murphy, who represents Wisconsin's 56th Assembly District, which includes municipalities of New London, Hortonville, and Greenville, and parts of Appleton, is facing backlash after selling his home in Greenville. This week, residents of the 56th gathered to call for his resignation, saying his permanent residence is no longer in the district. Murphy's term ends in January of 2027. He told Fox 11 News that he bought a retirement home just outside of the district, but is renting a room inside of the district until his term ends. Murphy has said that he will not be seeking re-election. On Wednesday, Murphy's voting address was changed to one on Greenville Road in Hortonville on the Wisconsin Assembly website. An Outagamie County family has filed a lawsuit against Roblox claiming a 5-year-old girl was the target of sexploitation while using the gaming platform. The Dolman Law Group filed the complaint this week, alleging the company, headquartered in California, is accountable for creating a, quote, breeding ground for predators. WBAY reports that male predators pretending to be children began grooming the girl and eventually convinced the child to send graphic images and videos of herself. The lawsuit, filed on behalf of the Outagamie County family, asks for unspecified monetary damages from Roblox for suffering life-altering injuries, including severe mental anguish and pain. Dolman Law Group has filed multiple lawsuits against Roblox on behalf of families across the United States, and multiple attorneys general in several states have either filed lawsuits or opened investigations against Roblox over child safety concerns.
I'm Lisa Hale for 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News. WISS.FM.
Game 5 tomorrow night. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the last time the Brewers faced Cubs pitcher Matthew Boyd, they knocked in 3 runs in the first inning. Last night, Boyd pitched into the 5th as the Cubs shut out the crew 6-0. Pat Murphy.
Yeah, I mean, he was great. Boyd was fantastic. He made pitches. How much money did they give him? $39 million. He earned it tonight. He was great.
So Game 5 is tomorrow night at 7:08 at American Family Field to decide who will advance to face the Dodgers for the National League pennant. NBA, the Bucks beat the Pistons 117-111 last night in preseason basketball in Milwaukee. NFL, the Packers face the Bengals Sunday afternoon, but kicker Brandon McManus injured his kicking leg at Wednesday's practice, a quad injury. Matt LaFleur.
Yeah, that's a major concern right now. So we'll see how he's doing today and tomorrow. And, you know, we'll have a plan ready to go.
Now, McManus says he thinks he'll be okay. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Start your day with me, Pam Yonke, every morning with the Midwest Farm Report, right here on WISS.
An isolated thunderstorm possible this morning, then mostly cloudy into the afternoon, but we will gradually clear out by later today. Our high right around 65, a little breezy here this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy to near 50. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high in the low 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 51.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Nativerts Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Maggie Dawn.
At 5 o'clock, I'm joined by Jennifer Sullivan of the Center for Budget and Policy Priorities. We break down what's going on with MAGA's refusal to talk about making healthcare affordable for Americans under the ACA.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
A new choice. The Fox Valley's real news and great conversation. WISS.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News.
Now, it's not the same.
Lake Wasota Studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News,
I don't know.
Pat Kreitlow.
I mean, I'm good to hear Don again, but I mean, after a week of Parker, yeah. I mean, it's kind of tough to go back. I don't know.
And Kristen injects this like liveliness.
I know. And mm-hmm. I said we wanted to expand this. I'd love to hear some Kristen Lyerly intros and some Luke Mathers intros. I think it's time to open things up and crowdsource this. What do
I'm
you
on
think?
Board.
I think we could do that.
Audience members, think of all our audience members.
I know. We got that voice note feature on the Civic Media app that people can use and make their own little intro to an hour of the show.
Uh-huh.
Hey, it would work for me. Nice to have you back here up north. Nice to be home. 8:07 on this Friday morning, October 10th. That's Parker Olson in Studio A2 down in Madison, and Dr. Kristen Lyerly. Back from wherever she's been, she's the only person I know that travels more than me sometimes, getting around. And you were in Boston this week.
Yeah, I was in Boston, some meetings, met with some folks from the Mass Medical Society and talked about all the crazy stuff that's happening in the world. You know, it's very interesting because we live in Wisconsin, which is a very divided state. We have a lot of opinions around here, but they're pretty blue in Mass, and to hear how they're practicing medicine and the things that they're worried about was really perspective forming.
I'll bet. Yeah. So we'll get into some of that in just a sec here. But first, from Rob, I know that he gave us a good morning here in YouTube. There he is. Good morning from Tigerton. It's cloudy and 50 degrees. Yesterday, I was busy mowing grass and leaves in the Tigerton area. I will be done mowing for the season this weekend. It was a great year mowing. I've been mowing every week since April 28th. Now busy doing paperwork for the mowing season. Says the fall colors are really hitting peak in the Tigerton area, and noted, as I did as well, that Governor Evers was talking about rustic roads, because the rustic road system in our state is now 50 years old. So get out and enjoy the scenery, the nature, the historic buildings, the old farm buildings. Rustic Road 47 between Tigerton and Wittenberg on County M is the one closest to him. And then finally, he says, I have a sore right knee that's been bothering me in recent months. When I was 12 years old, I fell off a hay wagon. Maybe my football and farming is catching up to me as well. I think that's all just our transition to see how our favorite knee replacement patient is doing these days.
Well, good. It's been 6 weeks.
Okay.
You know, healing well, but, you know, it takes a long time.
Well, you're walking through all those airports, you know. You were telling me off air, you went through the Detroit airport, which nobody gets through without 10,000 steps on there.
Gosh. Yeah, you know? Stopped, stretched. And I refuse to do transport. Like, if I have time, I just am going to walk.
Oh, do you know what happened last night?
Oh, boy.
Not at the Dallas airport. We were at the Twin Cities airport. We'd arrived. And, of course, we always joke about how our gate is always, like, at the very end of any given concourse. Uh-huh. And, of course, there it was. And it was, what, you know, 6, 7 o'clock at night. And I think we looked fine, you know, but there's a cart over to the side and some younger fellow over there and just says to us, do you guys need a ride? And we, you know, we didn't. We were just like, but we walked away going, how old do we look right now that people are now officially saying, offering to help us across the street, you know? It's like, wait a minute. We should have gotten mad. Like, what are you talking about? No, we're young. We're virile. We don't need no ride. Instead, we were like, we almost said yes.
No, you probably said, oh, no, thanks. Thanks, oh, no, anyway.
Thanks. We're good. That's what we said. Like, no, thanks anyway. We're good. And then immediately went into, what did he see in us that looked so like, I don't recall hobbling. But anyway, those days are getting closer, closer, closer.
Maybe
but
you just look tired.
I always look tired, you know, and amazingly, Kristen never does. She comes off of these meetings still, you know, all charged up and everything. I'm assuming this is through your new work on the national board of ACOG.
No, this was with the Committee to Protect Healthcare, which is an incredible organization of nearly 40,000 doctors all across the country in every state doing this patient-facing advocacy work. So they're involved in a lot of things. Like here in Wisconsin, they were involved in the last two Supreme Court races, the ballot initiatives that were primarily about abortion all across the country. Lots of stuff where you need the voices of doctors specifically to talk about what this means for us and our patients. And in the era of RFK Jr., where we saw a recent study come out yesterday that the partisan divide where people place their trust is stronger than ever before. RFK Jr. is heavily trusted by Republicans, even though the things he says are frankly not true in many cases. Like, for example, this connection between autism and circumcision. Can we talk about that? Can we talk extensively about circumcision on our morning show this morning?
Can I, again, we talked so much.
Do we have to set ground rules?
There's so much gyno talk, and instead we're doing circumcisions today, which, no, is again, fun because of the ridiculousness of it. And again, I hope Sherry doesn't mind me, you know, saying something personal here, but right before I texted you the story about Kennedy saying this, I showed her my phone, and there it is, Robert Kennedy Jr. trying to make a connection between autism and circumcision via Tylenol. And it's just one of those times when she looks at another RFK headline and just says, I don't want to go to work tomorrow. It's just like, I mean, the people who went to medical school, the people who study science, have to look at this yo-yo as the Health and Human Services Secretary. So naturally, my next step was to text it to you and say, yep, let's get into it. What made Robert Kennedy Jr. try to make a connection between autism and circumcision?
Hey, I don't know what made him do it, but I want to be very clear. He specifically referenced two studies, and he didn't say which two studies they were, but it is likely that they were two very poorly done studies with terrible methodology. That means that when you put a study together, you have a bunch of planning that you have to do. You have to pick your patients and you have to narrow what you're trying to study and make sure that it's actually going to come up with the results that are going to be meaningful. These studies were awful. But unless you understand the complexity of it, on its surface, if you're just reading the headline, it could look legitimate. These are not legitimate studies. So why go here? Well, here's my theory. Circumcision is another one of those things that in my practice, in any OBGYN's practice, anytime we're talking about having a baby boy, we have a conversation with our patients about what are you thinking? And it's a complicated conversation. Some patients are, they know what they want to do. They feel comfortable with it. Other people want to have a very in-depth conversation about the risks and the benefits and what's the best thing for my family. And that's important to do. Don't get me wrong. And it's not for everybody, but to draw this kind of a conclusion and recognizing that this is a tender topic for many vulnerable families is so irresponsible coming from the person who is leading Health and Human Services for this country.
Well, it is the equivalent of drawing on a hurricane map with a Sharpie.
Yes.
And that's what some of these studies, quote unquote, are like. And he, of course, doesn't care, much like Trump, doesn't care. You make the things say what you want them to say, whether it's what they really say or not. And now we've put another element of confusion, especially into pregnant women. Yes, the fathers and partners and everything as well. But it just seems, what has this guy got against pregnant women and women in general that so much of his gobbledygook is meant to alarm your patients.
He finds those sensitive topics that make people feel uncomfortable and he exploits them. And there was another clip where he said, "We are doing the studies to make the proof." That's not how science works. In science, you have a hypothesis, you have a question that you are trying to answer, and you guess, like, this is what I think is going to happen. But then you have to let the science do its work in order to be objective and honest and real and applicable. You can't tailor that science to prove a point that you are trying to make. That's flawed. But that's exactly what he said.
But that's politics. And that's just it. There's a difference between medicine and politics. And in politics, it is not at all uncommon for people to have a hypothesis about their values and then to try to pursue things that reinforce it, even if it means you have to conveniently ignore other things, you know, that work against your hypothesis. Science is not supposed to work that way. It's supposed to be, I mean, truly nonpartisan, supposed to be independent and let the facts speak for themselves. And then, you know, politicians are not supposed to then, you know, be fraudulent with what the science actually says.
That's why this Kaiser Family Foundation study that came out a couple days ago is so concerning, because what it shows is that people who call themselves Republicans believe what RFK Jr. is saying. People who call themselves Democrats and most independents continue to follow the science. So what we're seeing is people consume this information based on their political views. And that too is wrong. When I'm taking care of a patient in my exam room and somebody walks through the door and I know they're a Republican, I don't treat them any differently than an independent or a Democrat. We talk about what's going on with them. We talk about all the options for testing. We talk about all the options for treatment. We try to pick out the best alternative for them, because ultimately it has to work for you in your life. And it should not be tailored specifically depending on how you vote.
And I hate to be a broken record about this, but I feel like we have to end this discussion, like some of the other recent ones, in saying, because of the conflicting information and misinformation that's out there, it is more important than ever to not be afraid to ask questions. Now, there are some doctors that feel like you're the only person, we've got all day to talk about this. There are other doctors who they feel the pressure, like, you got 15 minutes, you got to get out of here.
And that's what you have too.
But don't. If you are the patient and you've got questions, you put them out there, even if they've got to follow up later, but don't walk away having not asked the questions that you have.
Totally agree. And can I just mention one other thing? You know what population they haven't gone after? Postmenopausal women. I challenge the administration to go after hormone therapy, and they will have met their match. Right, ladies?
That amen I just heard was downright deafening. So yes, absolutely do that. Back to feeling our age from Tony on YouTube. A kid in elementary school called me sir yesterday morning. I felt so old. No, that's when you feel like a grown-up is the first time you get called sir. It's like, hey, look, I'm an adult now. But I noticed years and years ago now that far more than any other guys that I know, the number of people that always use the word sir, you know, when they're saying, here you go, sir, here's this, sir. And not in like some, in a way that totally says, yep, you're the old guy now in this particular conversation, you know? And she's like, no, you can just say Pat. I'm like, oh no, that would feel weird. It's like, really?
That's really? So regional too. So my ex-husband is from Atlanta, and mm-hmm. down in the Southeast, everybody is sir and ma'am. And that mm-hmm. is a standard thing. Like, you could be 16 and they'd be talking sir and ma'am with you. But up here, obviously, it's not like that. So much of that is cultural and interesting.
Interesting. And yes. it appears to be a little age.
Sorry, Tony.
Again, I'm sure if I'd listened carefully, the guy at the airport cart would have been like, sir, do you need a ride? No, and don't call me sir. But I didn't, let's just say I didn't break out into a run to prove my youthfulness.
jump over some suitcases. Yeah,
no, because my knees would not let me. That's just not the way that this is going to work. Mm-hmm. We're talking to Dr. Kristen Lyerly, and coming up in 15 minutes, we are going to be talking to Mike Clemens, and we're going to be talking a little sports. The Brewers taking it to a fifth game, facing now possible elimination against the Cubs, and the Packers get set to take on Cincinnati. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. More from Chippewa Falls coming up.
WISS, home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
With locations in Appleton and Oshkosh, Insight Eye Care has been serving the Fox Valley since 1972, offering comprehensive eye care services. Their doctors also share a special interest in treating chronic dry eye disease, providing specialty contact lenses, and expert pediatric eye care. Find Insight Eye Care on North Sawyer Street in Oshkosh and Chain Drive in Appleton. Improving lives by improving sight with quality eye care for everyone in your family. Insight Eye Care. Visit WIinsight.com to schedule your eye exam today.
Did your child miss out on the last opportunity to try hockey for free? Don't worry, I got you. It's another new Wisco 411. And I'm Amanda, here to tell you that another Try Hockey for Free opportunity is on Saturday, October 11th from 12 to 1:30 at the Tri-County Ice Arena in Appleton. This is recommended for ages 4 to 9, and no skating experience is needed. Plus, they're going to help provide equipment. If your child's always been interested and just wants to see if they like it, definitely go. My kid had a blast at the last one. Head to WISS.FM and click events.
My name's John Driscoll, proud member of the Patriotic Millionaires. When I was CEO at CareCentrics, I doubled entry-level wages. The impact? Productivity went up, turnover went down, and the company was successful. When employees are off the clock, they're real consumers, the consumers that drive the economy with their spending. By paying employees a fair wage, we're actually helping out all of us in giving our economy the best chance to succeed. I'm John Driscoll, I'm a Patriotic Millionaire, and I approve this message.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow humans some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
In today's edition of the Up North News Daily Newsletter, Ellie puts together a story that she advertised last Friday saying, hey, send in your nominations, your compliments, your photos of some of your favorite small businesses in your hometown. And so a shout out to a few of the folks that sent in their favorites: Makers Market Square in Mount Horeb, Geiger Awards and Apparel in Waukesha, Rosalie Book Boutique in Beaver Dam, Wind and Unwind in Waupun, and The Hub in West Bend. And now Ellie's asking for, we're going to narrow it down to just local pizza joints. And I remember we did this on the show, I want to say last year sometime, and got a tremendous response. And so you can do the same thing. You can either put something in the comment sections here, or you can send us an email, radio@upnorthnewswi.com, and give a shout out to your favorite local pizza joint. Can't be part of a chain. It's got to be something local, and you know, tell us why that is. We'd love to give them a little free pub over here on the radio, all across Wisconsin.
I'm so hungry now.
I know. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that, but I kind of did.
Like, oh, cocoon of Winterland, and yeah,
right. I was telling folks yesterday or the day before about how when you're traveling, at some point it occurs to you, I haven't had a home cooked meal in however many days, and you're maybe grabbing breakfast in the hotel. You're maybe getting lunch at the conference. You're maybe going to dinner with somebody or whatever the case may be. And you start to feel like, oh my God, I haven't taken a meal off, you know? So this morning it was a piece of toast and for lunch, it's going to be the same thing. I probably, you know, have too much for dinner tonight as a result, but you realize I got to back off on this, but now we're talking about pizza. And so we'll see how much longer this lasts, you know?
That's so good. Yeah. I always like a good home cooked meal as long as I don't have to cook it.
Yeah.
That's fair.
That's fair. Yeah. No complaints detected here. Let's see. And then, now Rob says we've gotten him. He's hungry for a fish fry.
It's Friday.
Oh, it is Friday. Yeah.
Tony jumping in there. Oh yeah. Fish fry, Rob. So there we go. Now we got people, and we should do that. We should do shout outs to favorite fish fry places as well. Like the one you took me to in Green Bay a couple of years back. So yeah, there's all kinds of good places. Mm-hmm. All right. Where were we going to go originally? Oh yes. Our friend Emily Cephos is running for state assembly.
Yes.
She's running in the 56th Assembly District, which is whereabouts in the Fox Valley.
It's like northwest of Appleton. Mm-hmm. It's in, you know, it's kind of in central Wisconsin. I think Clintonville is part of it. Okay. Greenville. It's a pretty rural area. It's been a Republican stronghold represented by Dave Murphy for a long time. But turns out Representative Murphy doesn't appear to actually live in the district, Pat.
No, this from the Appleton Post-Crescent. Within hours of a Post-Crescent story about residents of the 56th Assembly District demanding that State Representative Dave Murphy come clean on where he's living, Murphy has changed his address. As of October 8th, Murphy had listed an address in Grand Chute as his voting address on his Wisconsin State Legislator webpage. A day earlier, he told the Post-Crescent, he was leasing a residence at an address on property that was in the 56th Assembly District, except that it wasn't. It's actually in the 52nd, which is represented by Lee Snodgrass of Appleton. So a group of concerned citizens is gathered to question how it is that their assembly rep doesn't live in the district. This is hardly the first time that this has happened in Wisconsin. I think most notably of Shannon Zimmerman, a Republican from the River Falls area, whose address has been different from the rest of his family for some time. And yet again, nothing really came of it. But I applaud Emily Cephos for saying, you know what, somebody should call attention to maybe having your representative be representative of your district by living in your district.
That's only a fraction of the reason that I applaud Emily Cephos. If you know anything about Emily Cephos, who ran for Assembly District 56 2 years ago, she is that person who shows up on your front porch and asks you how you're doing. She doesn't say, I want you to vote for me. She doesn't say, this is my party. She says, how are you getting along? What could be better in your life? She is desperate to bring people together and create the kind of change that we all know we need to see. And I'm so excited that she is running, but she also knows that she's got to call Dave Murphy on his shenanigans and acknowledge that he hasn't been doing anything for his constituents. He's been sitting in this assembly seat, parked there because he wants it, not because he's representing the people of his region.
No, it's a big difference between representing your district versus representing your party by having to have a seat in that district. And so Emily's in this. This is, of course, you know, the season for candidates to get into the races for an election that is now just over a year away. It takes that long to engage in the fundraising and to start knocking on doors and to get your name out there. We've had a busy week or so here with Josh Call deciding not to run for governor. Instead, he's going to run for a third term as attorney general. Missy Hughes, meanwhile, has gotten into the race for governor. And so maybe we'll wrap up just with your thoughts on Josh Call running for a third term as Wisconsin attorney general, because he certainly has put the fight for reproductive health rights front and center in what he's done in his first two terms.
Oh, that and so much more. We need Josh Call in this role in order to provide us, the citizens of Wisconsin, a solid defense against the craziness of the Trump administration. Trump has shown us that everything he's going to do is going to be in the courts. So if you don't have a strong attorney general, a strong, experienced, proven attorney general, You're out of luck. So I'm thrilled that he has made this decision. He'd be a great governor too, but in this role as attorney general at this time in history, I'm very, very happy.
Yeah. And again, there is time here. And I know this sounds like an old man of 61, but I was looking at the age. Josh Call is 44. There's plenty of time to either run for U.S. Senate or governor in the coming years. Let's see. You've got, I mean, Mandela Barnes is what, 38 years old. David Crawley's 39. You've got a whole generation of leadership out there. That is whatever happens with them in 2026. If they stay in the game, like Emily Cephos as well, we're going to have that next generation of great new leaders, like Kristen Lierley. She's one of them too.
So exciting.
Fridays and on Mondays. Thank you, Kristen. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too.
Clemens is coming up to talk a little bit sports, Brewers and Packers, all coming up next on the Civic Media Radio Network.
From Oshkosh to Nina, this is 98.3 WISS.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report, right here on WISS, Oshkosh and Appleton.
For 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. A recent report from the Wisconsin Policy Forum found that the state's alcohol-induced death rate is declining, but still remains above pre-pandemic levels. According to the report, nearly 1,100 Wisconsin residents died due to alcohol-induced causes in 2024. The state's alcohol-induced mortality rate was 18.2 per 100,000 residents, significantly higher than the national average of 13.9 per 100,000 residents last year. In 2019, the state's alcohol-induced mortality rate was 14.9 per 100,000 residents. The big data center project in Caledonia is off the table, at least for now. Stuart J. Waddles has more.
Microsoft says it's dropping plans for a massive data center after strong pushback from residents and village leaders. People had raised concerns about losing farmland and the project's impact on water and energy use. It was planned for an area near the Oak Creek Power Plant. Microsoft says it may still look for another spot in Caledonia or Racine County, but those talks are on hold.
The Appleton Fire Department is hosting a community electronics recycling event Saturday, October 11th, as part of Fire Prevention Week. This event offers residents a safe, responsible way to recycle old and broken electronics while raising awareness about lithium-ion battery safety. Items like laptops, desktop computers, TVs, monitors, printers, tablets, and other common electronics will be accepted. Loose batteries of any kind will not be accepted. Drop off your unwanted electronics Saturday from 8 till noon at Appleton Fire Station number 6 on North Lightning Drive in Appleton. I'm Lisa Hale for 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News. WISS.FM.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. It's called show business for a reason, and oftentimes the business part is what drives creative or really talented people away, such is the case with actor Chauncey Leopardi, best known for his role as Squints in The Sandlot. The actor recently sat down with People.com and said that as an actor, it was the constant auditions and the grind that made him step back from the biz. These days, Leopardi is busy raising his 5 children and running a cannabis business, saying it was a pretty smooth transition as he always had a life outside Hollywood. He also added that he really enjoyed his life as an actor. His credits also include Freaks and Geeks and Father of the Bride. Here's another really cool thing that came out of the interview. Squints says he still keeps in touch with Smalls, Benny the Jet, and Ham. He says they have multiple group chats and not only text quite often, but actually see each other at sports signings and events. Great story. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on WISS, Oshkosh, and Appleton.
An isolated thunderstorm possible this morning, then mostly cloudy into the afternoon, but we will gradually clear out by later today. Our high right around 65, a little breezy here this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy to near 50. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high in the low 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 49.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Stand-up comedian, Mr. Jim Flanagan.
Can I tell you my Culver's hack? I always get the kids meal because it's everything you want. I don't have children,
right.
So I'm just pretending I have like a 9-year-old named James in the back of my car.
I'm not proud of this, but I'll go through a drive-thru like at Taco Bell. I'll act like I'm on the phone and go, what else did you want? Okay. But it's all just for me. It's like 6 tacos, nachos, Bel Grande, and I can mouth through all of that.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, farmers across the country dealing with the Trump tariffs. We talked to a farmer from southwestern Missouri. Will Westmoreland will join us. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
I let Dr. Lyerly go without promoting her show, which she works on every week and is now heard Saturdays at noon all across the Civic Media Radio Network. So tune in for the Dr. Kristen Lyerly Show tomorrow at noon. Her guest is candidate for governor, Kel DeRoys. And I was making the note earlier about, shall we say, the youthfulness of the current field of candidates for governor. And I thought, well, if I gave one, I better give all the rest of them here. So what I've got here is Josh Call, who is not in the race now, is 44. Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez is 50. Fran Hong, 36. Kel DeRoys, 46, Missy Hughes, 57, Dave Crawley, 39, Mandela Barnes, a potential candidate, 38, Republican Tom Tiffany, 67 years old. So again, a lot of opportunities for folks who either will get the governorship next year or there's a U.S. Senate race 2 years after that. So again, Kel DeRoys will be on with Dr. Lyerly coming up at noon tomorrow. Let's bring in now Mike Clemens and let's talk a little sports here. About, well, you got the Brewers and the Cubs, unfortunately, now the Cubs facing elimination. And so I guess we may as well start there as well as anything else. Mike, good morning. How you doing?
Well, it was tough last night, man. The momentum shift after Quinn Priester's performance the other night is just unbelievable. I just flip a switch, and I don't know if it starts with the atmosphere, the Cubs fans there at the friendly confines. Freddie Peralta starting last night, and you know what? Did you see at one point the fans at Wrigley were chanting, Freddie, Freddie.
I did not think that would get into his head, but it seems to have done just that, and that's why I said earlier, anybody who's got a ticket for tomorrow night's game, man, you better not let the Cubs fans be louder than you, because they do not need to feel like this is a home game. This is our territory. We got to protect it in a game 5, 7:08 first pitch tomorrow, pregame at 6:30 on stations across the Civic Media Radio Network. And yeah, how much are we missing Brandon Woodruff right now?
Well, that sounds like simple analysis. And after the game last night, I went up and down this playoff roster, and that's it. I mean, it's simple. That's it. So, you know, let me set the scene here. It's last Saturday afternoon. The crowd that the Brewers drew of Brewers fans was just phenomenal. And I've been doing this since 82. I got in as a producer to cover those World Series games. And I was talking to Mike Vassell, the PR director, after game 2. And I said, this crowd, man. He goes, I know. I said, did you guys like have auditions and rehearsals? This was crazy. Because, you know, they had a great rendition of the national anthem, other kinds of pageantry, a little tribute to Euchre. The crowd got there early. They were all, like, mostly in their 30s and 40s, and frankly, a lot of them sober for that afternoon game. And then they bring out Charlie Behrens, and he's waving that rally towel. They gave out 42,000 rally towels. And I'm like, oh, my. And they were just so in sync with all the things that, you know, that the scoreboard crew plays to get the crowd going. And they just dominated with noise and everything. Brewers jump out to a 6-1 lead. They win game 1. They win game 2. One thing that was interesting is that both these teams, you know, they're scoring early in the games. I think that was combined by the end of the first inning was 32 points for both teams. 21 of those points in the first inning, which is a new Major League Baseball record in a playoff series. So then they get down to Chicago, and with Brandon Woodruff out, their starting pitchers for a playoff is Freddie Peralta, and then the number three guy was the Quinn Priester, 25-year-old, who grew up around Chicago. He only lasts 39 pitches in game three the other night. They hit him for three runs, and they end up losing that game 4-3. Then last night, Freddie Peralta gives up a three-run homer to Ian Happ. Two outs, 1-1 pitch, guys on first and second, and looks like Freddie's going to get out of that jam. Nope. The Cubs jump out to a 3-0 lead, and that just changes the atmosphere. Now, when you've got a lead like that, especially in a postseason game, your pitchers can relax and coast and aim for the strike zone, and the Brewers only got three hits last night. And now it's even Steven tomorrow night. I don't know what Murph's going to do. I think he made a very wise move that he said, okay, look, I really only have two starting pitchers. So what I'll do is let's secure game one, put Freddie out there. That worked.
Yep.
Let's go by pitcher by committee for game two here at home. So then we're at Wrigley. We'll put the kid in there. And if he can win game three, boom, we're done. Well, it didn't work, and now they're running out of pitchers, and I don't know what he's going to do tomorrow night.
And everybody's kind of wondering slash worrying about that. For Priester, I don't know if the term is proper here. If I say, you know, the yips in that he just could not hit the strike zone with his signature pitch, and you know, the closest example I have was growing up in Minnesota, where Chuck Knobloch was like one of the premier shortstops. And then he moved to the Yankees and he did okay for a season or two there. And then he got the worst case of the yips I think perhaps anybody's ever seen, where he could not throw a ball to first base to save his life and ultimately left the game. And I'm not trying to project onto Quinn Priester here. I'm just saying that there is, much like a batting slump, I mean, it just gets in your head if you can't find a way to deal with it. And I worry about the kid that way. The other kid I worry about, Jacob Mizorowski. We're going to need him to pitch multiple innings of relief tomorrow. And again, with that 103-mile-an-hour fastball, he's got to hit his marks.
Got to hit his marks. Got to, you know, put a little bit more motion on the ball. And he had some kind of a bit of an emotional breakdown when guys started hitting him, you know, Murphy, and we won't go into detail on that, but it's something where Murphy has to protect it. He's just a kid. He's, you know, 23, the Miz, lots of pressure on him. You know, maybe they should have held off on the T-shirts, whatever. But anyway, that's what's going to happen tomorrow night. You know, the good news is the game is at home. If the Brewers can, you know, turn it around and get that same momentum going they had last weekend, they would be at home on Monday night against the L.A. Dodgers, a team that they've swept. Yes. So we'll see.
Yeah. And the Dodgers get in on one of the craziest final plays ever. Philadelphia's pitcher, Orion Kerkering, I think is the name. And just having what should have been a relatively easy, you know, comebacker to the mound, throwing it to first or home. He chooses to throw it home, and it goes way wide. Dodger runner scores. Dodgers clinch the series. Again, that kind of heartache that will haunt, you know, Philly fans for the entire winter. But, you know, that's how baseball works. Is sometimes a single errant throw can change everything.
There's a hit. It gets hit back to this pitcher, and he's got the ball in his hands. Now, the runner on third base is already halfway down the line, right? He's rolling. There's two outs, and the Phillies just need one more out to win this game. And or to keep the game going, because they were in extra innings. And in a panic, instead of picking up the ball, which he was kind of having a hard time getting a hold on, and throwing it to first, where, you know, he had plenty of time to throw it to first before the batter got there, he flips it to his catcher. It goes wide. The Dodgers score, and they win the game and end the series. So, and then you could see the Phillies manager talking to him right away, like, hey, you know, you didn't lose this thing, because he could go down in baseball lore forever in Philadelphia as the guy who blew a series. And frankly, for the Brewers, I'd rather see them take on the Dodgers than the Phillies, because they didn't match up very well against Philadelphia.
Yeah. I mean, you got to avoid that Bill Buckner label that gets
right,
on somebody.
Right, that kind of a label. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. Let's switch over to basketball because the Bucks, they're getting close to starting that regular season. They had the Pistons last night in a preseason game at the Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee. And still the rumors about Giannis possibly leaving. Good Lord, Mike, the national press will not leave this alone.
You know, and that's what my feeling was in August or so, and until the details came out this week. And it's like, oh, okay. The fact of the matter is the season ends for the Bucks. Damian Lillard goes down with the Achilles. And so the Bucks make these bold moves where they release Dame Lillard. They make the trade for Miles Turner from the Pacers. They rebuild their roster. They move on. They moved on from Middleton and then Brooke Lopez. And in June and July, they present this to Giannis, thought that they had a deal. And then the next thing you know, John Horst gets a call, and he's flying to Greece to meet with Giannis and his agent while Giannis is playing for the Greek national team in the European leagues. And Giannis is like, you know, what would it take for me to get into New York? Like, he thinks of New York as another destination. If he was interested, if he went anywhere, it would be that. But anyway, he constantly is challenging the team about what can they do with the roster. And they've done everything that they can, really. So it's come out down to that. They did have talks with the Knicks in August, but the Knicks gave up, you know, four or five of their first round picks to get this Mikal Bridges. You have to now watch between the period of February 1st and February 4th, where you know, without going into details, there's a window there that maybe that the Mikal Bridges could be moved when his contract reaches a certain spot if Giannis goes with that deal. So I think it'll pretty much be, all right, we'll see how the season is going, and then, you know, maybe make a final decision before the trade deadline, February 4th.
All right, well, we got him for now to start the season. That's the important part, is get the season off to a strong start. Badger football, the Badgers with their 2-3 record will be hosting Iowa at 6 p.m. on Saturday, so the pregame will be starting at 4 o'clock on some Civic Media stations there. And then let's get over to the NFL here, where the Packers are going to host the Cincinnati Bengals. And a little deja vu at 3:25 kickoff Sunday, 1 o'clock the pregame starting on Civic Media stations, and the deja vu being Joe Flacco, guy that they just played a couple of weeks back when he had Cleveland uniform on. This is something you never see in the NFL.
No. One of the reporters joked when LaFleur came in and says, so when's the last time you played Joe Flacco? You know, I was like, yeah, a couple of weeks ago, right? Yeah, Joe Flacco was brought in as a quarterback for the Browns this year. And, you know, the Cleveland fans have been ripping on him because he's too conservative and not, you know, driving the ball downfield. And he's 40 years old, and these quarterbacks, even Brett Favre has said that. He said, you know, I was a different quarterback when I was 38 as opposed to 25. I was safer with the football, believe it or not. And, you know, you just tend to be that way. Aaron Rodgers, the same thing. Anyway, they moved on in Cleveland with Dylan Gabriel. The Bengals are desperate because Jake Browning, their backup, has thrown 8 interceptions. They've lost their last 3 games. They're trying to, you know, hold the phone for Joe Burrow when he comes back from toe surgery at some point. And so they get Flacco. And LaFleur and Jeff Hafley, the defensive coordinator of the Packers, think, hey, there's a good chance that this guy could actually, you know, adapt to this, that sort of pocket offense that the Bengals run anyway. So he'll be out there at 3:25 on 4 days to prepare for a game. One thing we're watching, though, is the kicker situation. Brandon McManus, your 34-year-old ace kicker for the Packers at Wednesday's practice, he's kicking balls, and all of a sudden, twink, feels something in his right quad, in his kicking leg, in his thigh. Mm. And he said, you know what, this happened to me 3 years ago. I got through it. It happened on a Wednesday. I still kicked on Sunday. I kicked a 40-yarder or a 50-yarder. So he might be a question mark for Sunday's game at kicker.
All right. Well, and back to Favre, today is his 56th birthday. And so if he's comments about his playing shape, I mean, we're facing Aaron Rodgers in a couple of weeks here. Maybe the game between that, the Arizona, maybe we end up facing Favre at 56. Maybe he feels like he's got something to prove there. Anyway, Packers-Bengals, again, coming up this Sunday, and Mike Clemens will be following it all, and we will talk to him all about it next Friday as well. Safe travels, Mike. Have a great weekend.
you know, we laugh about that, but stranger things have happened in the NFL. Have a good weekend, Pat.
Stranger things have happened. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it very, very much. And again, 3:25 kickoff, 1 o'clock is the pregame for the Packers and Bengals. For the Badgers against Iowa, coverage begins at 4 o'clock tomorrow for kickoff at 6, homecoming against Iowa. And Brewers and Cubs, pregame starts at 6:30 tomorrow. Some final news and notes back home in Lake Wasota after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
During Medicare's open enrollment, it's common to receive mailers and see TV commercials that say you're missing out on some benefits. Before you respond to these ads, turn to Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol, here to help you prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Don't be misled into enrolling in a plan that doesn't meet your health needs or cover your medications. Visit the Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol website at smpwi.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The Trump administration confirmed in September it is sharing driver's license and Social Security information among federal and state agencies from a massive database of personal and voter data. A class action lawsuit by voters and pro-voter groups has been filed to stop it. Since May, 38 states have received requests to turn over voter registration and voting records, according to the Brennan Center for Justice. As of October 1st, the only state to have complied is Indiana. Eight states which refused to comply have now been sued by the Trump Department of Justice. The administration reportedly repurposed an existing U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services database for verifying immigration status called Systematic Alien Verification for Entitlements, or the SAVE system. NPR reported in September that the immigration status of 33 million voters had been checked using the database. The new lawsuit contends, quote, Congress passed the Privacy Act of 1974 specifically to prevent the government from creating formal or de facto national databanks or centralized federal information systems that would consolidate sensitive personal information of Americans stored at separate agencies, unquote. The voters and groups are asking the court for an injunction prohibiting the administration from using personal data not allowed by the Privacy Act. We've linked the complaint from AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent weeks, the level of activity from Immigrations and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, has increased quite a bit. There was a raid in Manitowoc at a Walmart parking lot where dairy workers were known to congregate, a series of arrests in Madison, and in Milwaukee, ICE is looking to expand its operations significantly by seeking office space downtown to go along with a new field office on the city's northwest side. This has been concerning for many, and not without reason. A recent large-scale ICE raid in an apartment building in Chicago saw reports of armed federal agents breaking down doors, U.S. citizens detained for hours on end, and children being dragged from their homes in the middle of the night. While the American immigration system has a host of problems, this kind of violent show of force is not an acceptable way to address these problems. And ICE also just received an injection of $45 billion in the One Big Beautiful Bill, so it is imperative for all of us to hold ICE accountable and speak out when things go too far. Right now, things are going way too far.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area. As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
All right, let's look ahead at what you'll find across the Civic Media Radio Network later on, coming up on the Matt Nair on Air program with Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach. Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area joins Jane and Greg just after 10 o'clock this morning. And then get this, Todd Alba today at 2:35 is going to be talking to Mike Mankey, the PA announcer for Badger Athletics. Oh. I've been hearing some promos for that. The man behind the voice, as Todd likes to say. So that should be a lot of fun.
I'm really excited about that. I want to make sure I hear that today.
But you'll be napping. You're always napping at about that time.
I am. Oh, I'm actually really going to have to nap because I'm going to be on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba tonight. So I actually might.
Wait a minute. Let me scroll down here.
I don't know if it's in there. I haven't looked.
Let me scroll. It's not on here. Are you sure? Are you, somebody pulling your leg? All I see under Nightlight with Pete Schwabba is Bar Band Friday. Includes the original song Baseball on the Radio in honor of the Brewers, written by Southern Wisconsin musicians. I'm not seeing any Parker Olson here thing.
I'm pretty sure me and
not pulling your leg.
Okay. Me and Greg Gunderson, I think, are going to be on tonight.
Yeah. Okay.
Talking about our new sports show.
Maggie Dawn has Jeremy Janine from Urban Milwaukee. Let's see. Also, Jennifer Sullivan, Director of Health Coverage Access for the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, talking about the rising cost of health insurance because of Republicans cutting subsidies for the Affordable Care Act. And also Terry Barr will join Maggie for What's Good and Local but Overlooked. But getting back to Todd here for a second, not only does he have Mike Mankey coming on, but it says here at 3:06, weirdly specific time, but after the 3 o'clock news, there's going to be a VIP ticket giveaway to the world premiere of No Packers, No Life, the incredible story of an avid group of Japanese Packers fans making their way to the Mecca of Lambeau Field, debuting at the Majestic Theater in Waukesha. And Todd's going to have VIP tickets to give away for this thing.
Wow.
How fun is this guy?
That's very fun. He's big time. How about that? VIP?
VIP tickets. What do we got?
We don't even have tickets.
I'm looking around. I don't even have, I can give away my Roy Kent coffee mug. That's about it.
You're not separating yourself from that.
No, I'm not. Totally not. No. Are you going to be watching your Whitewater football team in action this weekend? I should have gone over the WIAC schedule with Mr. Clemens while he was here.
Yeah, that's all right. Whitewater is playing against Stevens Point this weekend. Stevens Point is how you would say, lowly. They are not good. So. Uh-huh. I might not watch. I might just listen and watch something else.
Okay. Let's see. We've also got UW-Eau Claire is traveling to UW-La Crosse.
Yeah.
And we've got Platteville heading to River Falls.
That'll be fun.
Again, Whitewater at Point and Oshkosh heading to Stout for the standings here overall. Yeah. I mean, it's only week two. You know, I mean, so
conference play,
at the top, you've got Platteville, La Crosse, Oshkosh, and Stout all with 1-0 records. And then now at the bottom with 0-1 records, Eau Claire, River Falls, Stevens Point. Ooh.
Yeah.
Is that Whitewater really down there at the bottom?
Whitewater lost in double overtime to La Crosse last week. So,
is that a symbolic victory? Can we make it like 0-1-1?
Oh, no. It was not that. It felt like we lost four games because we're up 17-0 at halftime and we didn't score until overtime.
No symbolic
victories here.
Okay, I gotcha. On the text line from Tiffany in River Falls, talking about Shannon Zimmerman saying, I think our assembly district gets forgotten because we're so close to the Twin Cities and we're part of the Twin Cities media market. We have to seek out Wisconsin news and it's so frustrating, but it's why I love civic media and I tell everyone to listen. And Tiffany, we appreciate that very much because again, both from Up North News, which is part of Courier Newsroom, and civic media, a real core focus has been getting Wisconsin news out to places that have a tough time getting Wisconsin news, places that are in the Twin Cities TV market or the Duluth TV market, or they're down there, you know, closer to Chicago. And it's just tougher to get Wisconsin news into some of these places. It's kind of like, Parker, the way every year we have members of Congress introduce bills so that you can actually see the Packers everywhere in Wisconsin, including if you're in the Twin Cities TV market, and yet nothing ever comes of it year after year after year.
Yeah.
It's tough to feel like you're a Wisconsinite in some of these border communities.
It is. It sucks. I think that's part of too why you see so many Cubs fans at Brewer games is because they're all right there.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. So again, you've got organizations like these that are trying to put more Wisconsin news, Wisconsin sports into these places and kind of bring more of Wisconsin together and feel a bit more united. It's way too easy to feel like you're more part of a TV market than what's inside your state borders. But who your legislator is in Hudson, you know, in St. Croix County and in Pierce County, you know, these things should matter a lot to the voters there, but you'd never know listening to Twin Cities Media. So I'm glad we're filling a role there, especially around the 3rd Congressional District. You know, we've got so many stations in and near the 3rd District so that people are hearing much more about the importance of the congressional representative for that area, whether it's Derek Van Orden this year or whether it's, you know, one of the other candidates that wants to unseat him. These are uniquely Wisconsin issues that people deserve to hear about. It's part of what we talked about with Congressman Mark Bocan yesterday and why he's doing town halls throughout the 3rd Congressional District, because the current representative there isn't holding any. And so once again, you got people with a focus on bringing news to all of Wisconsin so that you have, you know, the right representation in both Madison and in Washington, D.C. when these elections are all over. Well, Parker, hope you have a good weekend. Good luck to Whitewater anyway.
Oh, thanks.
And of course, to the Brewers, the Badgers, the yes. Packers as well. We will be summing all of it up, of course, Monday morning, 6 a.m. back here up north. I'm Pat Kreitlow, founding editor of Up North News, the Wisconsin outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news network building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. Have a great weekend. See you Monday.
This is WISS Berlin-Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein-Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The 72-hour window for Hamas to return all hostages to Israel is open. That's according to the U.S. envoy Steve Witkoff, as the Israeli military says it's withdrawn to the position agreed upon in the first phase of the peace deal brokered by the White House. ABC's Mary Bruce has more.
The big question, then what? The president's 20-point plan had called for Hamas to disarm and for Gaza to be governed by an apolitical Palestinian committee overseen by an international board of peace with Trump as its chairman.
But no Nobel Peace Prize for President Trump. The committee awarded this year's honor to the opposition leader in Venezuela, Maria Machado. The White House communications director in a statement says the Nobel Committee placed politics over peace. No end in sight to the government shutdown after the Senate departed without a funding measure. This means military members can miss paychecks next week, and federal troops expected to begin patrolling Memphis today. This is ABC News.